This is the Fedora Chronicles Network. The Metaphysical Connection, Episode 21, Illuminati and Secret Societies, is brought to you by Zazzle, or our Zazzle page. Really cool retrocentric stuff to make you the life of every party, whether you're out on the beach or in the kitchen or somewhere else. Yeah, Zazzle.com/Fedora Chronicles. Support the show. This week, Walt and I talk about the Illuminati and secret societies and how they may be a part of every conspiracy theory out there or none of them. Is there a secret group who control everything from the government to the media? Is it populated with politicians, business leaders, entertainment personalities, pop stars, and even podcasters? Is there an alien bloodline connection? But before that, Walt and I talk about the news of the week, the Brit exit from the EU, a strange finding on Mars, and of course, Rogue One. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
A new world order.
So before we get into the news of the week here, Walt, I want to just let everybody know that it is not a podcast without us getting all liquored up on some Henry's Hard Soda, made with real cane sugar. And we love this. We love first thing in the morning, turning, you know, firing up the microphones and firing up the mixer board and just opening up a bottle of this and really getting down to the news of the week and the realm of the paranormal.
The only person who probably likes Henry's Hard more than us is Henry's wife.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
Probably. Absolutely. So, news of the week. I think that I'm going to the one piece of space news that I think is very fascinating is that I read a report, a couple of news items, that they found, how do you pronounce this element, this glass? Trinitite.
Yeah.
The glass that is it's almost...
What Nick Redfern talked about, the glass that's formed from the extreme heat of a nuclear explosion.
Exactly. And they say that some of it does come from volcanic activity, but I'm not really sure about that.
Well, he said that there was some postulation that it was formed by meteorites hitting sand and
sure.
superheating it.
Sure.
Which he kind of dismissed, I think, as not being very viable.
Well, the thing is that that's what mainstream scientists try and do.
Well,
they try and take something that is...
There's some natural explanation for something like
They're trying to find down-to-earth explanations for everything.
Right.
So the thing is that they found some of this on Mars. And the thing is that it's like, if was there atomic warfare on Mars a long time ago? Could that have been possible?
Who knows?
Let's dig up H.G. Wells and see what he has to say about this.
Well, you know, there's a lot of art. I suppose there's a lot of artifacts there.
We keep seeing them.
The big face.
Yeah.
Looks like a human face on Mars.
There's a lot of that.
And pyramids. There's some things that look like pyramids. And
there's a lot of strange things out there.
Some signs of some kind of civilization being there at some point.
Yeah. So the truth is out there.
But we don't really know for sure because we haven't had, I mean, it's going to be a long way off, I think, for a manned excursion to Mars.
The way
it's going anyway.
And the way I look at it is that if they did find alien relics on Mars, do you really think that NASA would come right out and say, we found alien relics on Mars? What would it take for them to come out and say, yeah, there was an advanced civilization living here on Mars
ages ago? I think
it would
take a lot for them to say that.
What would it, you know?
It would take about as much as full disclosure of the UFO question on Earth. I think it would be the same amount of hush hush kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whatever they found, I don't think we'd know.
But if they found
the totality
if they found definitive proof that there was once life on Mars, advanced life on Mars, mm-hmm. a civilization on Mars, you think that they would hold that back, or you think there would be a big, huge announcement?
No, I think it depends on the climate of the time when that happens. You know, if things change, like let's say, for example, the UFO question is opened up on Earth.
Yeah.
And that information comes in after that. That might put a different viewpoint on it.
Sure.
If it happened right now, I don't think they'd
say
that what was actually found.
No.
They'd say it was some kind of natural formation or something.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit on the Fedora Chronicles radio show Roundtable Edition last night. Have you seen the latest issue of EW?
No.
All right. Well, the new issue of Entertainment Weekly has news and pictures and photographs and character profiles for Rogue One, which is coming to theaters this December. And you are a huge Star Wars fan. You're almost as big of a Star Wars fan as I am.
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Almost. So you haven't seen it yet?
I have not. I don't read that publication.
Okay.
Anyway, so
well, it's all over Facebook. It's all over the news. I mean, if you're a real...
Well, I don't pay much attention to those kinds of publications.
And that's why
they don't have a lot of meaning for me.
And that's why you're so much more centered and balanced than I am.
Well, they just don't appeal to me, so I avoid them. You know, like it's like those things at the checkout, on the rack at the checkout thing.
Oh,
you know?
I hate those.
I hate them, but sometimes they're so absurd they're funny.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? They're like ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you know, it's just stupid crap that people make up that doesn't have any validity at all.
Yeah.
Well, at least I don't think, you know. I mean like you know, Michael Jackson being found alive somewhere or something.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know. Clearly he's not going to be found alive, you know, but they just make stuff up to get people. I mean, that headline catches your attention.
Sure. Michael Jackson seen at the at a 7-Eleven somewhere, and you know,
it's funny. I was going through some, we're having a big yard sale tomorrow, so I was going through some of the stuff we're selling. My wife has accumulated
right
many yard sales.
Oh, sure, your wife.
No, it
is sure just your wife.
I mean, I have a few things.
Yeah,
a few. But my obelisk is one thing that you're going to be.
You're going to be unveiling yourself. Thank you so much.
That's going to be pretty cool.
We are going to actually be measuring the energy waves coming off that thing.
Oh yeah, with our Tesla technology.
Absolutely.
When we develop that.
Yeah.
But I was going through my wife had this old phonograph. We ran out of cottage as part of our business, and there was an old phonograph in there you could play 45s on. You
right.
Know? Yeah.
And I remember those.
I actually had little kids come in to stay in there and say, "What's that? What do you do with
what?
That?" Yeah, they didn't know what it was.
That's
how far technology has progressed beyond that.
Here's something that I don't think that people really understand. There used to be, if you really liked just one song,
that's where I was getting to.
You would actually have to go to what they call a record store or a music store, and they had these things called albums.
Well, and 45s.
And 45s. I'm talking specifically 45s. Instead of downloading an MP3 file off the internet,
Do you think we have to explain what a 45 is?
I think I mean,
other than the one with a trigger.
Right. So the thing is that you had this little piece of plastic. It's in the shape of a disc with a label in the center.
And grooves. And you put it on this...
On this spinning...
This Flintstone-like device had a needle that...
And it was called a turntable.
This was actually invented by Edison.
Not, really?
Not...
Are you sure he didn't steal it from somebody else?
He might
have
stolen it from Tesla.
Yeah.
I don't think Tesla really cared about
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think Tesla was too into entertainment, although he might have been. I don't know.
And
but what I was getting to is that my wife had a box of 45s.
No kidding.
Various stages of music, you know, but right on top was a Michael Jackson 45.
I don't doubt it.
When he was still brown. I mean, he was brown. I mean, he was probably about, I don't know, he looked to be like maybe early teens, like 14, 15, maybe.
Really?
You know.
So this is during the Jackson 5.
Yeah, and he was nice looking.
He was a good looking kid.
He was really nice looking when he was a kid until he started doing all those distortions to himself, whatever.
All that plastic surgery and stuff. Because he didn't.
See, that goes back to the last, what we were talking about, self-hatred. So, some reason he didn't feel good about himself.
It's because of his dad.
He hated himself, yeah.
It's because of his abusive father.
Yeah, his dad was a...
He didn't want to look anything like his father.
Not a nice guy.
Right.
Joe. Isn't his name Joe Jackson?
Yeah, Joseph. Joseph the first.
Yeah.
So I think that
Whip
is...
up on Tito and the boys when they weren't singing loud enough or something.
Exactly. So here's a lesson for every dad out there. I know that Father's Day is in the rear view mirror, but here's something for dads to always remember. Treat your kids nice.
Right.
Because if they get any fame and fortune and a lot of dough, they will go through anything, including multiple surgeries, to not look like you.
And someday they will have direct access to your oxygen hose.
That's right. You
know, so they can pinch that baby off. If they
I like to remind my parents of that. You better treat me right, because I'm good. I'll be choosing your your nursing home.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Enough silliness. Let's move on to
the EU.
Yeah. Brexit.
Brexit
just passed this, I guess, last night or
early
this morning.
I was up all night watching that on all the news networks.
Were
after
really?
I got done. I was.
Wow, you were really excited about that.
I'm crazy about that. I like to follow the news, whether it's like a massive horrible storm or
you don't wait till that gets put into Entertainment Weekly before you you learn about it.
No, I will, because the thing is that, and this is the crazy, this is like one of those moments where I knew I really loved my wife. My wife and I stayed up all night watching the Weather Channel, watching a series of hurricanes or tornadoes tear through a certain section, and it was just like...
That's exciting, Eric.
Yeah. Yeah, watching all the incoming news, and we were having like Chinese takeout. We were watching the news about this storm coming in, and it was just like, oh, this is love.
Do you ever sit around and watch paint dry?
No. Yeah. That's not nearly as exciting as watching massive superstorms tear through a town.
Well, I get that if it's your town, but.
Right.
I mean, if that's your thing.
Oh, I think it is so hysterical when you see the weather people, the weather casters, or whatever you call them, in their parkas. And the thing is that they're getting blown over and taken out to sea,
up to like hip deep water.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
All you hear is this wind.
And the guy's hitting.
This is Jim here talking to
the guy's hat's blowing off and stuff.
They've evacuated the city for a 12-mile radius.
The thing I find amazing though is you found the one woman on earth who would sit there and watch that with you.
I know. Isn't that not
that's,
lucky?
That's amazing.
That
it's,
is.
That's definitely definitely some kind of soul connection or something.
It is, you know? But one of the things I've always
clearly your soulmate.
One of the things I've always found very fascinating is that they've evacuated this coastal city. There's nobody around for a 15-mile radius except for two people: the cameraman and the news reporter.
Right, and the guy in the water, or the woman in the water. Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny. Like, it's okay for everybody else has to get evacuated. It's okay for them to be there.
You know? And then you have the sheriff coming by and said, what are you silly people doing here taking video?
Get in the damn boat.
Get the hell out of here. We had an evacuation order. I don't care about ratings. Get the funk out of here. So I mean, it's awful. It's sad. You know what's another really sad thing? It's like my new kick is that watching accident videos on YouTube.
Oh my god, that's sadistic.
Well, it's because
is it just like car accidents?
All kinds of accidents.
Any kind of accident.
Because we live in a Jerry Bruckheimer world.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, nothing will stop traffic like rubbernecking. To watch a car on fire or an accident. You know, mutilated bodies being pulled out of tangled metal is certainly a big draw for people.
Don't lie. You know you like it, too.
So let's get on to Brexit.
While
we still have some time left for the news anyway.
Well, so talking about the British exit here, the thing is there was a big, huge referendum where they asked the voters.
The European Union, they withdrew.
Does Britain want to leave the European Union? And
it must have been a movement or something around that.
Yeah, and the thing is that, and after the vote came in, Prime Minister Cameron said, I'm out of here. I'm taking the early retirement package.
Yep. He bowed out of that, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why he made that snap decision. I guess he just figured that his time was over.
Well, here's a question, and I'd like to ask you. Based on everything that you know about global politics in the past 20 years, why do you think there was the big, huge push for the Brit exit?
Well, I think there's a couple factors. I think the influx of refugees from Syria and places like that has really had an impact on the British economy.
Sure.
And not that dissimilar to what Trump is actually talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of closing the borders off.
Right.
I think that's part of it. And I also think that there's some sense that Britain's kind of getting used, you know, by the rest of the rest of the group.
Because
their taxes are like hugely off through the roof.
And, right.
Which, and they have been for a long time, but
it's not cheap to live
in
England.
I think those are the two big factors as to why this started.
Yeah. Well, if you follow other radio shows, This American Life has had a really great series on the economic collapse and how it has affected all the global markets. And they did this one show on the European Union. And the whole idea of the European Union was based on the philosophy of a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm. And that the thing is that you had a country like Greece, and they actually talk about Greece for most of this. I'm actually going to try and see if I can get the link in the show notes page here. But the thing is that you had a country like Greece who was going through just spending money like crazy, and their economy was in the toilet. And before that they joined the European Union, they had to get their house in order, which they didn't do. And as soon as they got into the European Union, well, the thing is that they had AAA credit rating. And they started to spend money on crazy things like airports in the middle of nowhere. And these lavish bridges that only a few hundred people will use to get to this resort town and whatever.
You're talking about Greece now?
Talking about Greece. Yeah. And Greece was spending money like crazy because they went from having a very low credit score to a AAA credit score because they were part of the European Union. And you look at these other countries, and one of the complaints that a lot of people have is that there are all these potholes in Great Britain, and they don't have the money to fix that, but Greece has all this money to throw around on things that they can neither afford or actually really need.
Right. And which is not all that much different than the United States. Oh, when you think about it.
No, it's exactly just like the United States.
Right. We have all these spending sprees on things.
Yeah.
And our infrastructure's eroding.
Oh yeah.
You know, the roads, the airports, everything. I mean, just look around.
Yeah.
So how do you equate that? Where's all that money? I mean, no, I know there's a lot of money coming in from the U.S. taxpayers.
Right.
Where's it all going? That's the question, and that's probably the same question the Brits were asking.
That's exactly the same.
You're paying all these huge. I mean, they pay higher taxes than we do. Well, I don't know what the percentage is, but they pay like 70% of their income.
I heard that it's like if you're in the higher tax bracket, like 90% of everything that you make goes to taxes.
Oh well, that's even crazier.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's the case, you got to start asking yourself, where's all that money going? Who's getting that money?
And one of the complaints is that the European Union dictates how Great Britain can do business with other countries like Canada and Australia and New Zealand and you know, their former colonies and stuff like that. The Commonwealth countries, I guess they call them. Mm-hmm. And another aspect of this that really scares the hell out of a lot of people is that Germany has its shit together now.
They seem to.
Seem to have their shit together. And every time that the European Union looks for handouts, they look to Britain and Germany.
Well, that was part of the whole thing, I think, is that the Brits were saying, like, you know, it's like us paying a huge percentage of what's the organization that supposedly defends Europe?
NATO.
NATO. Yeah.
NATO.
I mean, the United States pays a huge amount of that.
Oh yeah.
Cost, you know, and so we're paying a huge amount of money to defend other countries, and they're not coming up with their share.
One of the things that I find amazing is so many people like to say, In all these European countries, these first world countries in Europe, they have universal health care. You know why they have universal health care? Because they can afford to have universal health care because we pay for their military. That's the argument that a lot of people mm-hmm. have.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, is a huge amount of money that goes out in foreign aid from the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, really. You know, we're using all this money to buoy up other countries when look at our own country.
Because we pay foreign aid to Israel and the PLO.
There's tons of countries we give foreign aid to.
And we give foreign aid to Egypt. So the thing is that basically we are financing the conflicts in the Middle East.
Absolutely we are. Absolutely. That's been happening for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, how far back? You can't blame Carter. Can you blame Ford or Nixon or Johnson?
I don't know when that started. How far back did foreign aid start? I don't know. Probably way back, way, way back.
And here's the thing is, like, front page news item on the local newspaper, they don't have the money to fund an after school program for the junior high and the high school kids.
How do you equate that?
But it's okay. We can send hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to places in the world where they want to kill us. That makes fucking perfect sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't get it. But why aren't there people in bigger positions asking these questions? That's my whole point.
Because they're sitting on the floor in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. Well, you know.
Yeah, that's another whole issue. But getting back to Britain, that sort of looks like a chink in the New World Order armor.
Yes.
To me. On the surface, anyway.
On the surface.
But then you have to take into account David Cameron resigning so quickly.
Yeah.
Is that his payback for letting this thing happen? Or is this really just another face of the New World Order?
Yeah.
You know, as kind of another movement of the shell in the big shell game, you know. Maybe the P moved to another shell. I don't know. It's hard. It's so too early on to really. I know they're hawking the impact on the world economy because of this. I know they're already talking about the 401ks in the United States losing huge amounts of money. You know, it's all fear.
It's all based on fear. Whatever. I think that one of the things that a lot of people are concerned about is that the Brit exit is pretty much handing Germany the Fourth Reich, because every time that Europe turned around and said to Germany, who has, I guess they have a budget surplus or something, they have a lot of cash laying around, I guess.
Well, I think their industries are successful.
Yeah, they got their shit together after World War II.
They have some way of structuring their economy so that it produces it's in the black.
Yeah.
You
know? But a lot.
We're certainly not in the black.
And a lot of people are concerned and worried that, because the thing is that with Britain no longer being in the European Union, Germany can basically have its way with the European Union, because every time that they say, okay, we will bail out Greece, or we will bail out Portugal, or we'll bail out any other country that's in trouble, but we would like X, Y, and Z from the European Union. We would like more executive powers to do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
We will give you the money. We will give you the money if you give us this power in return.
Right.
Sounds like a great idea, people. You know what they say about people who don't bother to learn history? What do they usually do, Walt?
It comes back and bites you in the rear end.
Bites them in the ass. Yeah. We have the explicit tag. You can say, ass.
If you listen to Jim Mars,
who's
a really good researcher, he talks a lot about the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
The initial premise is that we defeated Germany in World War II. We didn't defeat the Nazis.
Right.
And the Nazis live on.
Right.
A majority of them escaped, and they escaped with their money.
With Brazil and Argentina.
So, where'd all that money go, and what's it being used for? Well, they've turned their aggression away from military aggression to economic aggression.
Yeah.
So they've taken control of a lot of major corporations. A lot of the German chemical companies that were active during the war,
sure,
just morphed,
yeah,
into branching out into all kinds of different industries all over the world.
Yeah.
So they didn't really quit. They just changed their game.
Of course.
That's all. And who knows how that is going to all play out.
How is that going to play out in the next couple of years?
I mean, we're, the whole world's becoming corporatized. You know,
it's
not. Governments are almost irrelevant at this point, I think. You know, the corporations are, and there's probably only a few really big ones at the top of the heap that are running the show.
And the number of companies that run the media, all the media, print, radio, television, cable news, they're all being controlled by, what, maybe seven corporations,
yeah,
maybe
becoming
even fewer?
Less, they're, it's all getting bought up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's happening with everything. These bigger companies are absorbing all the smaller companies, and what does that do? Well, it gives them more control. You know, it gives everybody less possibilities.
I think a fascinating movie...
And that's not a new tact. That's been done, you know, forever.
A fascinating movie to bring up just really briefly is the Pixar movie WALL-E, whereas you have this robot who is tasked with cleaning up the planet after the giant corporation, by and large, basically destroys the planet, which is a conglomeration.
I haven't seen that, so I...
Yeah, I'll let you borrow my copy, but it really is a condemnation of the consumer society.
Yeah. Is Pixar Disney?
It is now.
Yeah, that's what, there you go, case in point, right? that's funny. So yeah, that's what's happening, you know, and I don't know how this, I'm perplexed at how this this thing in Britain's going to play out. I can't say one way or the other what it's leading to. Because the New World Order seem to be on a roll, getting, you know,
rolling in all of these countries and
right,
stuff like
and getting all of these countries to sort of play the same game.
And the thing is that there were some countries that were in the EU that were not in NATO, and there were some NATO,
the thing is
what alliances did NATO have to NATO in general? And it was, and there's a lot of sort of. There's a lot of fuzzy gray area.
Murky areas.
There's a couple of murky areas. Yeah. Do we defend all of the United Nations? I mean, not the United Nations.
And do we only defend countries that are in NATO, or is that just countries that want to join it and they defend everybody that needs to be defended? I don't even know how that works.
I think it would be very interesting, because the thing is like if the EU starts up their own version of NATO or their own version of the United Nations, and they actually have their own military force, and they actually have their own, you know, if they have a much broader infrastructure besides just free trade and free travel, I think on the other hand there's a good aspect of this that I think that really sort of needs to be addressed here. As far as the EU leaving, I remember when the EU first started rolling, and all of these people on all of these Christian broadcast network TV shows were talking about how, well, the Bible foretold this as a sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, well, that's what they find that in everything.
Everything. Walt Schnabel and I have a podcast. Well, this is a sign of the coming of the apocalypse.
And it may be.
It's the end of podcasting as you know it.
The podcast apocalypse.
So I guess maybe that they were off a little bit, or
I just think their thinking is distorted. I don't know. They so want it to be what they think it is.
Right.
That they distort it into something that they distort the message of the Bible into whatever the message is they want to get across, which is what religion does, essentially.
And speaking,
it's not just Christianity, they all do that.
Yeah.
But a bigger question is this movement in Britain similar to the movement, to the Trump movement?
Yes.
In the United States?
Yes.
It has a lot of similarities.
It does.
You know, when you start thinking about it. Now, Britain's obviously a much smaller country and a much less diverse country,
right.
I believe, anyway. I know they've had traditionally had a lot of you know, people come in from their colonies, like Indians and things like that.
Right.
But I think it's still, you know, mostly Caucasian, white, British Caucasoids or whatever they are.
Caucasoids. Caucasoids. I just
coined a new term.
I think Caucasoids is actually the name of a sci-fi parody satire porn flick.
Oh, God. Please don't acquit me with that. I didn't see it.
Right.
Eric thought of it.
Right. Right.
So,
Caucasoids.
No, caulk. Not caulk. Not, no, caulk. A-U. Not O-C-K. Eric's laughing uncontrollably now. I got him. But getting back to the point I was making about, is this some semblance of the same movement?
Oh, yeah.
You know, of people wanting to get back some control.
People hate change, Walt.
I don't know if it's change that they see might benefit them. Maybe it's okay with them, you know. Most change generally doesn't benefit people. Change usually is a precursor to something not good happening.
Something not cool.
Generally. That's how people equate it, I think.
Of course.
Which is, you know, why people are conservative. You know, they don't want things to change. They want to keep it the way it is. But apparently there was a kind of a native movement in Britain to keep Britain for the Brits, you know. And that's not all that much different than I think what the Donald Trump voters are, his message is resonating with a certain type of mindset.
Well,
on a larger scale, of course, and maybe a more diverse scale, but maybe it's not all that much different.
I'm one of those people who absolutely, totally believes in self-determination. Whatever it is, whatever Walt wants to do, Walt should be able to do, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, including animals and small children, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever Eric wants to do, Eric should be allowed to do, so long as it doesn't affect other people, including his children and his small animals, and so on and so forth. And I'm being kind of flippant when I say this. It's like,
it doesn't impact things negative.
Right.
Negative impact. On
okay. If you want to take drugs, you're on your own. Go take drugs, but you're on your own. Don't expect people to bail you out. If you want to drink, drink. But the minute you get in your car and hit the road, all of a sudden, that's everybody else's problem, and we have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Whatever Brit wants to do, and this is true with politics as well, being angry at people for doing something is like being angry at your dog because it's not yet learned how to meow. Dogs do what dogs do.
Right.
Okay? People do what people do. Politicians do what politicians do. That's what happens.
But when it impacts a large group of people negatively, then that's not okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. But yeah, people are going to do what they're going to do. And if it doesn't impact, you know, impact people too much, then they do what they do, you know.
But
when it starts having some huge import for people,
yeah,
then that's when people start looking around.
I think
what's going on here?
I think that it's like a lot of us who have been following the news sort of thought that it came to a point where this was pretty inevitable. Getting back to that show that This American Life did on the European Union and Greece becoming a member. Whereas the thing is that it's like, if you listen to the people in England, in Britain, complaining about how they're paying so much in taxes and things like schools and roads aren't being taken care of, while other countries are getting a free ride and they're getting all their debts forgiven by Germany, or they're getting their debts forgiven by the British government, without, you know, and doing it just out of unilateral decisions. Of course you're going to have people pissed off.
Well, I think the theory behind the European Union originally was to make it a conglomerate of countries that work together.
Sure.
To further their needs and solve their problems as a group rather than,
right,
you know, individually. It's like a, you know, it's kind of like the theory behind privatizing a maintenance company rather than hiring individual maintenance people at each place. You get one big company that takes care of everything, you know, and that sometimes doesn't work that well.
No,
you know, because sometimes things get too big and then they can't be regulated very well anymore.
Like if you have to fire somebody because of inappropriate behavior, you know, instead of just saying you're fired, you have to go through a corporation that you hired. Who hired that guy?
Yeah, you have to go jump through all kinds of loopholes and stuff to get that person out of there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not really any more efficient. Sometimes it's less efficient because it's so big that the head doesn't know what the tail's doing, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. I think that was the theory behind it. Whether that's, I think what it ends up doing is the countries that don't carry their own weight end up getting carried by the other countries. And I think that's one of the big things is why Britain decided they didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But it also brings up the point, are they now going to be isolationist? Are they going to be shunned by the other members of the European Union that don't want to do business with them now?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. So it remains to be seen.
Probably.
Yeah.
But the thing is that...
And can they be self-supporting? I mean, traditionally, Britain has been a little island that just went out and colonized places and took advantage of wherever it was that they colonized, like India or... You know, they did some stuff in China. You know, they had a lot of colonies. I mean, that was...
They had a lot of colonies in this place called North America,
too. Saying was that the sun never set on the British Empire because they had so many territories and shit.
Well, I think the sun is finally setting on the British Empire.
Well, maybe. Well, it remains to be seen.
Because there's a lot of thing that, like the monarchy. I don't think they can afford the monarchy anymore. I don't think they can afford their figureheads anymore.
Well, they like the monarchy. They think that makes them special somehow. I think that's why they have all those... tabloids and shit that follow them, their every move they make, and every time they fart, there's a story about it.
Sure, but I'd love to have an Aston Martin, but I can't afford that either.
Well, so. I'm just saying, you know, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what it all comes down to.
All right,
it's hard to say. One more news thing, which isn't really a news thing. We had promised you the appearance of Lord Jim today. And unfortunately, we couldn't get our Tesla technology
working,
finally tuned enough. So we're going to have to bump him back to next week. We are going to try to get him going next
that'll
week.
That'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. We're going to have to fine tune that Tesla device.
And then during the break, I'm going to
tune into the dimension that Jim resides in.
Yeah, and then after the break, I'm going to try and get Doug in for a couple of minutes to talk about.
Are you going to try and get a hold of him?
I'm going to try and get a hold of him. So we're going to take a break. We're going to tank up again with some Henry's Hard Soda.
And we're going to segue into, I think, the news story we did on the New World Order, sort of taking a step backwards, maybe.
Maybe. Or it's all a game.
Kinda,
it's all a show.
Kind of ties into what we're going to talk about
it's in
the second
show.
Part of the show. The Illuminati.
You just gave me goosebumps.
Ooh.
You're scaring me. All right. Talk to you in a minute. Stay tuned.
If you have something you want us to promote on the Metaphysical Connection podcast, let us know by getting in touch with me. My email address is info@thefedorachronicles.com. If you have something to promote that our listeners would be interested in, let me know and I'll read your ad during our actual podcast. It could be goods and services, a special event, convention, a book or documentary you've written or created, or even your own podcast on the topic of the unexplained phenomenons. That's also how you can get in touch with us and let us know about your own experiences. Have a good ghost story, seen something unusual or strange, or just voice your opinion on any given topic. Once again, just drop us a line at info@thefedorachronicles.com.
Talking about the Illuminati today. Getting into it.
Illuminate you on the Illuminati.
Exactly. So the thing is that when you came in the door and you sat down and had some of my world famous French toast.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what did you think it was, Cart?
I didn't know it was world famous. I thought it was just French toast. But...
Oh, yeah. I
would have had more reverence for it.
French toast.
I would have meditated on each bite had I known it was of that class.
Well, you know, the thing is that Carol praises it on Facebook, and so that's the deal with that. So I thought and you had asked me what's my angle on the Illuminati, and I think that this is the perfect introduction. Let me see if I could rephrase exactly what it is that I said. I totally, completely agree with the notion that there is somebody else who is in control of everything, every aspect of life here in the United States, and it has very little to do with Washington, other than the fact that that's where they keep their puppets.
Mm.
That's where the
that's
secret...
That's where the puppet show is.
That's where they...
The big Punch and Judy show.
That's where they keep, and the thing is that... You look at a lot of things that that the government does. What does the government do? The government passes laws and rules and regulations, and they set up committees and bureaucracies.
And wantonly spends taxpayer
and
money.
And wantonly spends taxpayer money. And a lot of people say, well, Eric, what about Obamacare? Obamacare is a great thing, isn't it? And I would say that Obamacare is like one of those things whereas it's a big, huge government takeover that is sugar-coated with the notion that everybody has health care now. And the thing is that people bought into the notion of the government being allowed to take over health care in the name of providing health care for everybody.
For the masses.
For the masses. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that are things better under Obamacare or are they worse under Obamacare as far as health care is concerned? And the thing is that it's
and
like...
And does Obamacare.
And does Obamacare. And the thing is that it was a great scheme to get everybody behind the notion of the government taking over an aspect of our lives. Once again, I'm one of these people who actually believes in that there are some false flag operations that occur every once in a while. Whereas the government says, we need to have this thing. We need to go after homegrown terrorism and stay like the militias and stuff like that.
Is
well,
that Bill Clinton?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Bill Clinton.
Okay.
Or Jimmy Stewart doing his worst Bill Clinton impersonation. And the thing
or
is...
George Bush on crack.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Laura, hand me the pot, baby. So we're supposed to go after all these militias. Well, the militias haven't done anything to hurt anybody. And then there's Ruby Ridge. And then there's the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, all of a sudden, everybody hates militias. And I'm wondering, was that a false flag operation?
Yeah, you know, all that stuff happens. And you have to scratch your head and say, I wonder what's going on there.
Could it be that the government manufactures these tragic events? Or is it that they just take advantage of the... You know, like what Rahm Emanuel had said, don't let a good tragedy go to waste.
Yeah, but, you know, getting back to what we talked about with Nick Redfern a couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, is it really the government? You know, you say the government because that's what we think of as being the power broker.
Sure.
But are they really? Or is there some other group behind that pushing things to go in a certain direction? And I think that's maybe where the Illuminati start to come into politics, for one thing.
Right.
Now, as you said earlier when we were doing our pre-show chat, the Illuminati is kind of a broad term.
Right.
I think that covers a lot of different areas.
It's like the word Xerox.
Of control. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever that word is for something that becomes kind of the catch-all phrase.
Right.
For, you know, copiers. You know, or you're going to Xerox something, meaning you're going to copy it.
Yep, it's a photocopy.
It started out as a photocopier company that's now morphed into a phrase for right. copying something. You know, so maybe that's sort of what the Illuminati is. You hear there. You know, with the advent of the internet, there's all kinds of stuff about the Illuminati. I mean, anybody.
Sure.
And I imagine there's probably some people out there. Who still haven't heard of it or maybe have heard of it and don't really care about
it or think about it. Do you want to repeat that story that you said earlier about somebody?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of illustrate where people are with this whole topic. I mentioned it to a lady at work, it was maybe a couple of years ago, a year or so. And she kind of looked at me like, Illuminati? What, you know, what's that mean? And I gave her a little overview of what it was hypothetically.
Sure.
You know? And again, I think where we're going with this is we're going to present this as something that's out there. Whether it's real or not, we'll leave it up to the listener to make that choice for themselves.
My dog is going crazy because she senses that there are people coming down the driveway from the Illuminati trying to shut us up.
The men in black or the women in black.
Yeah.
So... She looked at me kind of crosswise and said, ask my son about that. I guess she has a son that's an authority on mostly everything.
Right.
So she came back a couple of days later and said, I talked to my son. I won't mention his name, although he's got a very similar name to the guy that's in the room here with me.
Uh-oh.
But you're not her son. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And she said, he said it's just made up. It's not. That's not true.
How would he know?
I don't know. He's an authority. He knows all this stuff. So what I'm saying is that there's all level of of knowledge about this.
And ignorance. You know.
Well, yeah, ignorance, I guess, is some people just don't know about it or care about it or whatever. And then there's other people who think the Illuminati rule the world.
Right.
You know, plain and simple.
Right.
So, you know, you can go in a lot of different directions with this. I think that the Illuminati is a group of people that rule behind the scenes, rule many of the aspects of our society.
Sure.
Or control. Rule maybe is not the right word. Maybe control.
Yep.
And in essence, control us.
Exactly.
In the same way. Now this group started supposedly, we did a little historical research on it. Eric, you want to talk a little bit about that? Or
I'm going to read this here, and I'm only going to read this from Wikipedia. Because
now this is just the historical account of it.
Right.
I have some other thoughts about it, but I'll let Eric
Because the thing is that Wikipedia is quickly becoming like the common knowledge. If you have any question about anything, even though it might be made up, just look it up at Wikipedia.
Right. Whether it's true or not.
Whether it's true or not, that's not the point. The thing is that the Illuminati, plural of Latin illuminus, meaning enlightened, is the name of given to several groups, both real and fictitious. Historically, the name usually refers to the Bavarian Illuminati, an Enlightenment-era secret society founded on May 1st, 1776.
You get that date.
Yeah, 1776.
A little bit of a coincidence there.
Yep. The society goals were to oppose suppression, obscurantism, I think that's a word, religious influence over the public life, and dominating them. The Illuminati, along with the Freemasons and other secret societies, were outlawed through edict by the Bavarian ruler, Charles Theodore. Charles Theodore, with the encouragement of the Roman Catholic Church in 1784.
There you go.
1785, 1787, 1790. In several years following, the group was vilified by conservative and religious critics who claimed that they continued underground and were responsible for the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. What other revolutions have they been a part of here?
Well, who knows, you know, given the date, 1776, who knows that they didn't have some kind of hand in our revolution in some shape or form.
So apparently, and it's like, and if you keep reading this, and it's it is very interesting, whereas it's like...
Did you mention Adam Weishaupt?
He
was supposedly the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati. Now, this is just one group of Illuminati.
This is just one group of the Illuminati, which really sort of makes me wonder, because the thing is that, like I had said, when you say the word Illuminati, the thing is that the Illuminati is the catch-all name for anything that has anything to do with a conspiracy theory within a... being secret rule by an underground society. I tend to believe that, and I said this before, and I'll just reiterate this, is like if you just look at the election that we're watching right now, if we're watching the election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, there are a lot of people who have been pointing to evidence saying that Hillary's nomination or her coronation to becoming the Democratic presumptive nominee, she stole the election by a lot of dirty tricks. A lot of dirty tricks caused by who? Who are the instigators of these dirty tricks? Who's rigging these elections? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will point to the Diebold Corporation that builds the voting machines. And I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true or not. Hey, listen, it's on the internet. Take it with a grain of salt.
Right, it's whatever it is. Yeah.
But the person who owns the Diebold company is a member of the Illuminati. And the Illuminati is the organization that has rigged this election and is swinging it for either Trump or Hillary Clinton. And if you've been on Facebook for more than 5 minutes, you will have seen a picture of Donald Trump and Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton's wife and Donald Trump's wife all hanging together, having a great laugh while they're all dressed up in their tuxedos and their evening gowns.
Right.
And the thing is that you got to wonder, well, the thing is like, if they hate each other so much, how come we have a picture of them hanging out?
Well, they hate each other in public.
Right.
Know? And then behind the scenes, they get together and laugh about, you know, all the shenanigans.
They laugh about how stupid we are.
Yeah, that's kind of the, I really do think that's a valid scenario. I really do. But I think the Illuminati goes back way further than that. I think that was
right.
Where they sort of surfaced, or that became like the public face of the Illuminati.
Sure.
I frankly think it goes back to Egypt.
You think so? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where you had a group of people that were privy in the mystery schools, this knowledge that, you know, the common people weren't, you know, didn't have access to. And these were all the, and it may even go even back further than Atlantis, or than Egypt, maybe back to Atlantis. You know, if in fact you believe that Atlantis was a real place, which I do too. But so maybe it goes back that far. There's always seems to be a class of priests or something that has this knowledge that the common person does not have privilege to. So
right.
So they're in essence illuminated, or
exactly.
You know, they have knowledge that other people don't have. So they're the illuminated ones, which is where
right.
Illuminati comes from, actually. And actually, Christ had access to the. Supposedly, he went to the mystery schools in Egypt and learned a lot of his which would become his teachings.
Right.
Through that, so. You know, I think some people probably would say that Christ was illuminated.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why you see him depicted sometimes with that kind of glow around him.
Oh, that's why you see a lot of people depicted with that glow around them.
Which I think that's what that indicates, is that they're illuminated by, not that they have, that they're actually glowing, but
right.
that they have an illuminated sense of knowledge.
Right.
You know? And who knows where that knowledge originally came from. You know, it could go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years and even to another planetary system. We don't know for sure.
Or you could just go back a couple of episodes of The Metaphysical Connection.
That's true. So kind of fast forwarding up to the present, and you know, and there's a lot of goings on in history that probably could be attributed to the Illuminati. You know, the French Revolution obviously is one.
Yep.
Maybe the American Revolution, you know, they had their hand in that.
Sure.
But they seem to be able to intervene in events to get things to go the way they want it to go.
Or yeah.
To create some kind of a system that they're going to be able to regulate in some way.
Now, I'm going to inject something here that's
okay.
going to sound, right. It's going to sound, on the face of it, it is going to sound like Eric is really stretching again.
Okay.
But the thing is that...
there's stretch marks?
Yeah. In my arms. The thing is that you a lot of what you sounds exactly like Isaac Asimov's Foundation series, where these group of people saw the end of the galactic civilization, and they decided that they were going to work behind the scenes, on two different fronts. One front, the first foundation, was going to build a giant suppository. Or repository for all the knowledge.
Yeah, it's suppository.
Suppository.
That's a good Freudian slip.
They were going to build this giant, you know, the Encyclopedia Galactica, and there's going to be the second foundation that was going to be controlling things behind the scenes, secretly, covertly, in such a way that not even the first foundation would be able to figure out what was going on.
Right.
And I think that is such a brilliant sort of analogy, whereas it's like it's almost as if we have a second foundation here in the United States or around the world with these secret people who are they're working things behind the scenes for whatever reasons, for good or for evil or for their own nefarious purposes. We don't know.
Maybe they think they're doing the human race a favor. You know, that they're providing us with a structure.
Sure.
That maybe we couldn't provide for ourselves, which I don't agree with, but, you know, I think maybe they have that some kind of a delusion like that.
Of course.
That they're really doing the lowly humans they're giving us a debt of, and we owe them a debt of gratitude for doing all this stuff, which I think is bullshit, but, you know.
But you look at
they may think that.
Right.
I don't know. Or maybe they just purely want to control things. You know,
but
for their own means.
You look at throughout history. History is full of stories with people who thought that they were doing the right thing, and they did horrible things because the ends justified the means, and then they turn out to be the biggest villains in all of history.
Yeah, mostly it's done in terms of religion or, you know, in terms of God or, you know.
Or control.
Yeah, well, that's what it all comes down to, really. That's really what everything comes down to.
Sure.
Is control. And that brings up the whole issue of the New World Order, which George Herbert Walker Bush.
Oh yeah,
was one of the first people to actually use that term. I think in his speech, right? The New World Order.
I gotta get that sound clip.
A New World Order.
So yeah, you can plug that into the show somewhere.
Yeah.
which is kind of interesting that he.
The New World Order.
He brought that forward. I think he was sort of setting the stage for it, like getting everybody used to the term.
Maybe, New World, you know? Order.
Yeah.
A New World Order.
But the Bushes are right in there with it. You know, they're definitely tied right into it. And I think his son, W, was just basically a puppet of the New World Order.
A New World Order.
Yeah.
You know, he just basically did what he was told, and they got him elected, so he did their dance for him.
Yeah, because if you look back, I don't know, I hope everybody is able to remember the 2000 election. Could you imagine there are actually kids out there who have no idea what happened during the 2000 election?
Oh yeah.
And the thing is that the country was on pins and needles for a couple of weeks during that entire process after the election, between what was it? It was like between the first week in November, and how long did it go on until well into December? We were like going well into December without really knowing who the next president was going to be. Mm. And that's when things really started to really go upside down.
But, you know, the funny thing is...
A New World Order.
Or the curious thing is that what people don't realize is that the two candidates that we're presented with...
Yep.
Are both representatives of the same group. You know, it's just like they're going to win no matter who wins. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like...
A New World Order.
You know, you've had candidates... two candidates that were both in the Skull and Bones Society at Yale.
Yeah, like the 2004 election.
Yeah, was... Kerry and Bush.
And when they were asked about the Skull and Bones...
They were both in the same covert, secret organization that's at Yale. It's called the Skull and Bones, and that's another show we can do.
Right.
But so you have, of all the people who could be nominated for president, you have two guys that emerged from the same secret society at Yale, which has about, I don't know how many members in total, but, you know, it's probably in the hundreds. It's a very exclusive group that they apparently, you know, they pick from people at Yale. They get tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, you've been nominated for the Skull and Bones, you know.
A New World Order.
So how does that happen? How do we get two people running for president that are from the same with the same mindset?
From the same secret society.
Yeah, and that secret society is set up to guarantee the members success. In, you know, they climb the corporate ladder or whatever arena they're in because they were in the Skull and Bones. You know, they get bumped up the ladder.
And why? I used to think that was bullshit back then.
You didn't think it was true?
No, I'm back in 2004. I'm thinking to myself, "What are you? Are you crazy? If everybody found out about that, the world would go freaking nuts."
Well, it's not that uncommon knowledge. I mean, people know it.
But yet,
just look on the internet. I mean, you can see it right on the internet.
Look up Skull and Bones.
Look at Skull and Bones. You got it right there. You know, and they're not the only ones. I mean, there's been a lot of big people in politics and business that were in the Skull and Bones. How's it happen? You know. I mean, it's not a coincidence.
What are the Vegas odds that is a coincidence?
Not good. I mean, it's huge. I'm sure it's huge. I'm not an odds maker, so I don't know. But when you think about that, the two people that we have to vote for are from the same group. You know, so...
A New World Order.
You do the math. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's so ridiculous. You know, and I think that's true.
If you do something,
you know, the book I showed you, it's a huge, huge book.
Yeah.
It's called a Codex. It's by a guy called Tex Mars. I don't think any relation to Jim Mars, the guy that's a researcher, and he's a Christian minister or something. I don't know, but he's got picture after picture after picture of people doing the Illuminati signs. Now that's another whole thing we need to talk about.
Right.
What is that? Why are these Illuminati doing these signs? We talked about it with Prince. Remember when Prince died?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Prince was in the Illuminati.
Allegedly,
yeah. Which a lot of entertainers apparently get into because it helps them. They help them promote their career.
Sure.
However, once they get into it, they're into it. You know, you saw, and I hate to say, they sell their soul to the devil, because that's kind of a cliche.
Sure.
However, what I think they are doing is they're giving up ultimate control over their lives.
Right.
So the Illuminati basically control what songs they sing, what they say, what they do. But part of what they have to do is they have to make these signs to indicate their allegiance to this group. And that's part of their whole sort of occult thing they have going on. It gives them more power somehow or something, which is what they believe. Whether it does or not, I don't know. I don't really know that much about the occult. I'm not a proponent of it,
right,
by any means. But I know that's why they do it.
Right.
And if you look at, like, George Bush used to do it's the thumb and the pinky extended and the other fingers fold underneath.
Oh, like this?
Yeah, like that.
You and I used to do that.
We used to do it as a joke when we would see each other in the parking lot. But he used to do that all the time. His whole family did it, his daughters and everybody. Yeah. And it's an Illuminati symbol. And it has something to do with a bull, I think.
Right.
And he was asked about it, and he said, oh, that's the Longhorn, the Texas Longhorn symbol, which he didn't go to Texas A&M. I mean, he went to Yale, you know.
But
so why would he be doing that? Because he's from Texas? I mean, he's not even really from Texas.
Just as a quick aside here, one of your buddies from that school tried to do the same thing with me last year.
That's funny.
He was trying to figure out what that
meant.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. And I said to him, I'm sorry, you're not a part of our secret society.
Right. The unilluminated. The unillumined.
The Dimminati.
Yeah, that's good. The Dimminati. So there's a whole series of these symbols.
The cockanoids.
There's the OK sign.
Right.
Which I'm not sure. I don't really know what the significance
of
these
things
are.
I do.
Is that what that? I know it doesn't mean OK.
No. The thing is that there's two different versions.
Doesn't mean I'm OK, you're OK.
No, there's two different versions of that. Because the thing is that once upon a time, a day's labor was worth one silver piece. Okay, and a silver piece is on the average is about the size.
I think I did hear that, actually. Yeah.
And when you give somebody the okay symbol, that means, hey.
They earned their
silver piece. You earned your wages for the day. Yeah. You earned your, that's where that originally started from.
And that ties into the whole slave thing,
Right.
Of humans being dominated by.
That was supposed to be the sign that you did such a great job. You earned your pay today and then some. That was what it was supposed to be. You did such a great job.
Okay.
I don't know where AOK came from. Somebody had said that it's like,
well, it must have morphed into that or something.
Right.
I don't know. And then there's another one, the V, which has been used as a peace sign,
right,
and also as a victory sign,
right.
Well, I think Churchill started the V,
right,
victory, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you know what he was allegedly. Really, you know what he was really doing?
It was supposed to be an Illuminati symbol.
It
or something?
Was.
Yeah.
It was. He was making an occult symbol that told Hitler and his boys that he was overriding their magic.
Yeah.
Their occult magic. Their Nazi magic. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
And it morphed into him saying it was a V for victory sign, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's also a sign that a lot of Illuminati use, if you notice.
If you know how to look for it. Now, here's something that...
Well, if you start looking for it...
it's all over the place.
Right. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to my son, Zach. He's the one that brought this subject forward.
Zach is the...
Recommended that we...
Zach is the man.
That we... do a show about this, so
yeah.
I want to give a shout out to him. And I since I started like talking about this stuff with him, he's noticed this in a lot of different arenas. You'll see, like, LeBron James, the big hero of the latest playoffs. He does all kinds of Illuminati stuff.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, I know you're not too big into sports,
but he
does it like in pregame warm ups.
Yeah.
He'll do the V and the Isn't that the sign of Horus? Isn't that what that's
something
sign?
Like that.
Yeah.
There's a great movie.
It's supposed to be a bull. Horns of Horus.
There is a great movie, and I hope you're able to catch it. You and I should sit down, and we should watch it together sometimes. There's a movie called The Conspiracy, and there's a picture of a man wearing a bull mask. I'll see if I can find it for you, and I'll put it in the show notes. Mm. And the thing is that it's a story about how these two men get accidentally initiated into a group that's like the Illuminati, or is a part of the Illuminati.
Accidentally initiated?
Because the thing is that they show up. They're doing a news story, and they wind up in this initiation. I'm not going to spoil the ending. The ending for you, but okay. The thing is that it's like there's a movie called it was on Netflix for the longest time, and it was on Amazon Video, Prime Video for the longest time. It's a scary as shit movie. Do not watch it in the middle of the night. It is like one of those. It's one of those.
You mean
like
when you're up watching the hurricanes,
right? Right. It is one of those really movies that uh-huh. It's one of those movies that really sort of makes you think. And it starts with this guy who is one of those conspiracy theorists.
A new world order.
And he connects all these dots, and then he connects the dots, and he finds out that all these dots.
That he's one of the dots.
No, he follows the dots to this one resort somewhere, sort of like the Brandenburg Group, who get together once in a while.
The Bilderberg Group.
Bilderberg Group, yeah. So he leaves this message for these two reporters, and they go check this out, or these amateur filmmakers. And it's sort of like a lost footage film,
right?
To an extent.
There's a bunch of groups like that,
yeah,
and they have these ritualistic kind of ceremony type things, sort of occult kind of things, which is, at least I believe that's they think they're getting their power that way. They're all basically, I think, Satanists or Luciferian or something. They're using that kind of energy,
yeah,
dark energy. Another one is Bohemian Grove,
okay,
where a whole bunch of these guys get together at someplace in California. Actually, Alex Jones has invaded that somehow. He got into it.
Yeah,
they have this big, huge owl that they burn. Owl is another Illuminati symbol.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure what that significance is, but when you start looking for these symbols, there's really a lot of them in evidence. Even with Prince, he did a lot of things. There's another thing, if one of the eyes is covered,
yeah,
that's another one. And that goes back to the Eye of Horus. Now, you know, if you don't think there's some Illuminati influence on the United States government, take a look on the back of your $1 bill. What's on the back of your $1 bill, Eric?
Oh, well, there's a pyramid and the all-seeing eye.
The Eye of Horus, right? Which is an Illuminati symbol.
Yeah.
So there you go. Where'd that come from? How'd that get in there? Another one is, you know, the famous picture of Napoleon with his hand inside his jacket.
That's supposed to be another.
That's an Illuminati sign.
Wow! Right?
And you see Washington with his hand inside his jacket.
And
what that means is it has something to do with them having their hand over their heart.
Oh yeah.
It has something to do with that because it's always the right hand inserted into the left lapel.
Yeah.
You know, when you start looking for these, there's a lot of it around. You know, I'll see, and maybe they just do it to do it. I don't know, but you'll see a group like on a TV, like a musical group.
Yeah.
And at the end of the song, one of the guys will give the sign. You know.
Right.
So it's like something they have to do to show that they're part of this group. And maybe some of it's just screwing around, and maybe some of it's not. I don't know. I just don't know. I just know that once you start looking for it, you notice it a lot.
It's everywhere.
Right. And if you look through this codex of Illuminati symbols, there's people in there that you just wouldn't think of as being Illuminati. I mean, first of all, getting back to our elections, Hillary's in there doing the triangle. That's another one that they make a triangle with your hands, and they usually put it down by their lap.
Yep.
And they have Trump in there doing the same thing. So, I mean, that's not, I don't think that's something that your hands would naturally do, is it?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I know, but because you're trying to. I mean, if you were in a position, say you were having a photo taken, would you put your hands like that? Do you think?
I'm trying to figure out, why would I put my hands like that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. Why would you do that unless it had some intention behind it? I mean, really, think about that. Let's say we weren't talking about this, and you said, okay, well, I'm going to take a picture of you. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd sit here. I might put my hands like this, or
right.
You know, I might cross my arms, but I wouldn't do that. I don't think naturally. I mean, maybe it's a Star Trek thing or something.
Those damn Trekkies.
Those Trekkies, they get you all the time.
Keep your damn dirty Trekkie paws off me.
It's very strange. It's a very strange phenomenon, if nothing else. You know, and you can look through this book, and there's tons of people that...
A New World Order.
Or
yeah, we were flipping through the book, and right. It was just like, you're looking at this, and it was just like, well, how the hell else can it not be anything more than a coincidence? And you're kind of like... I'm not buying it's a coincidence, people. I'm not. Right. I'm looking at this, and they're all making the same hand symbols, or they're
right,
you know. And
right. So you figure, wow, that's crazy. What, you know, what's going on there? Whether you believe it or not, or whatever it really is, I don't know. I can't say that I have any definitive knowledge on it. One thing I do know, or what I've read anyway, is that unless you sign on, you know, to be in this group, they really can't do anything to you. You have to buy into their, you have to sign their contract, I guess, whatever that does, you know. So I guess you and I are safe, Eric. At least I am. I don't know about you. Maybe you've signed on already. I don't know.
Walt, there's been something I've been meaning to tell you.
Yeah, Eric, I noticed that sign you were making when I wasn't looking.
Join us, Walt. Join us.
But it's pretty pervasive. I mean, apparently the music industry is at least the current music industry is rampant with people that are supposed to be Illuminati devotees. A lot of the hip hop people, like Jay-Z.
Hip-hop?
Yeah, I know. Hard to
hip hop, really?
Jay-Z and
because if you stop and think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. If you were going to influence the minds and win the hearts of young people, how would you do it?
Well, yeah.
How would you do it?
That's pretty clear, pretty obvious. So, you know, it goes back a ways. I know it goes back a ways because Tupac Shakur was one of the big rappers, but he had a real political sensibility.
He did.
And supposedly, as the story goes, he signed on with the Illuminati to, you know, to get his work across, because apparently it's pretty hard to get anywhere in the music or the entertainment field in general,
right,
unless you're in the group,
right?
And groups like, you know, that you wouldn't think of necessarily as being somebody that would even, like, I've seen the Eagles referenced, and the Eagles were one of my favorite groups, and supposedly the Hotel California is a shout out to the Illuminati if you think about the lyrics to it.
You can check out any time you want, you just can never leave.
Exactly, you know, exactly, that's what I'm talking about. So I don't know, who knows what happened to Glenn Frey, you know? I don't know, he died under pretty odd circumstances, I think.
Well, was it a car accident or something?
No, he died of some kind of an odd infection or something that he got. He had some kind of arthritis in his fingers or
sure.
Something, and they were giving him some kind of medication, I guess, to counter that, and that opened the door for this big infection that he got. So I don't know. Who knows? You know, a lot of it could be conjecture. Look at Prince. You know, he just died suddenly. Michael Jackson was clearly Illuminati.
Well,
from, you know, the signs he's been seen making and stuff like
so
that.
So you're saying that just based on the signs that he was making alone with his hands, that he was a member of the Illuminati?
Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's supposedly some, and I don't know this for sure, but some of his lyrics were veiled outing of that. You know, I don't know what songs in particular or whatever, but he again, like Prince, I think, had gone Christian, or
yeah.
I know Prince was a Jehovah's Witness, became a Jehovah's Witness,
right?
And I think Michael Jackson had become religious too, in some way,
to some extent.
And part of that turning over, I think, is that they were going to out the
A New World Order,
the whole game, and then, you know, they didn't.
And on top of that, and on top of that, you look at all the trouble that Michael Jackson had been going through in the last couple of, the past decade of his life with all these accusations of child molestation and inappropriate behavior. And then there was this big, huge news item that dropped on our feed about how, you know, the catalog of the things that they picked up and they confiscated during a raid on his house. And it's like he had like a secret closet and an altar
I heard that.
An altar to, like, you know, animal torture and torturing children and
child. He had porn with adult bodies that had children's faces put on them and stuff like that. I heard. Did you hear that?
I mean, that's Jesus, weird. Jesus, you think I'm sick? What the fuck?
That's off the scale. I mean, that's too far gone.
Fuck.
But again, I think it has to do with, you know, he was really young when he got into the music business. What was he, like 8 or something?
Yeah.
When it was, what was their group?
The Jackson Five.
Jackson Five. He was young. I mean, he's a little kid. And he got distorted somehow. He got mutated somehow, you know, which is why I think he wanted to distort himself physically. But apparently he had all this other stuff going on too, you know, which was...
Somebody made this outrageous claim.
Really weird stuff.
Somebody had made this outrageous claim, and I just got to get this out here. Because somebody had made this outrageous claim in one of these news stories that he used to masturbate, used to beat off while watching videos of animal torture. You gotta stop and think to yourself, first of all, what kind of sick individual
did he play Beat It?
What kind of sick individual would concoct something like that?
I can't even imagine. I don't even know. I don't know what would create that kind of a distortion of somebody's psyche to think that was sexually aroused. I mean, it's crazy. But the point I'm making beyond that whole thing, whatever that is, I don't know. Is that I think a lot of times, like we talked about Britney Spears, you know, they get these kids early on, and then they have some talent. Right. You know, Michael Jackson, say what you want about him, he was talented. You know, he was a good songwriter, and he was a good dancer, and he had a good voice.
Yeah.
But you know, he was very, very young when he got into that business.
Yeah.
And who knows what kind of deals his father made. His father was a sadist or something, you know. I don't know. He used to beat them if they didn't have a good performance. He'd beat Michael with Tito or something. I don't know, you know.
He'd just pick up Tito and just
give him a Tito. I'm gonna go Tito on you, you know. Michael.
But you stop and think
didn't
about
sing loud enough, Michael. I'm gonna beat you with Tito.
No, Daddy,
I think it distorted his psyche, you know, and
a new world order.
Who knows what he was exposed to?
That's the point I'm trying to make. Talking to my therapist, a short while ago, and talking about there's something rotten in Denmark when evil behavior like that is normalized.
Well, it's never. It can't be normalized. There's no way you can normalize that.
Because the thing is like, if you've been exposed to something horrific over and over and over again,
a new world order.
Where you become desensitized. There's a point where it goes from being desensitized to normalized. Whereas it's like graphic horror movies or graphic war movies.
You are desensitized to it. And we're almost desensitized to mass shootings now. In some ways, you know, it's almost like you kind of accept it as part of life now. Whereas 10 years ago, it was horrible.
But the thing is that and if you watch these news stories, whereas it was like these the news anchors, you can see that they're trying hard not to smile. Because the thing is that they're doing news stories on a mass shooting on a slow news week. Now they have something to report. They are besides themselves with glee.
And they over-report it. You know, I mean, they almost turn the person into a celebrity. In some sense, and really that's American culture. It's all about
celebrity. I think it's Western culture, but okay.
Well, it's mostly American, I think. But it's I guess it's Western. You could say. But getting back to the whole thing with the Illuminati and I think a lot of it is mind programming. I think our media programs us to a certain degree. Hollywood is rampant with this kind of thing. I mean, I think that the upper echelon of the Hollywood media or the Hollywood moguls, they're all, I think they're all, you know, into these kinds of nefarious things, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the movies and stuff that we watch are, have messages in them.
Yeah.
That we don't, you know, that we don't necessarily pick up on, but not consciously anyway.
Right.
One of the big movies I wanted to talk about.
A New World Order.
And I think it really is a case in point of this whole thing. Is Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in another show. Yeah.
Well, Kubrick, who's one of my favorite directors.
How could he not be one of your favorite directors?
And his movies, you know, that movie, I'll have to say the first time I saw it, maybe even the second time, I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand where he was going with it. And then when I started sort of learning more about the Illuminati and what their game is, what their deal is, it started to make more sense.
Right.
And I think that this is my, you know, this is my spin anyway. I think that Kubrick was part of the Illuminati at some point. And as part of that contract, he got to kind of do what he wanted to do artistically.
Yeah.
But he also had to do other things that he didn't want to do. He was forced to do things he didn't want to do. And I think Eyes Wide Shut was his response to that. And if you think about for the people who haven't seen that, I know it's not been a real popular movie.
No.
Because it's got such a dark message. But there's a scene in that where Tom Cruise is the, oddly enough, is the main character who sort of stumbles upon this kind of hidden society. And strangely enough, Tom being in the Scientology movement.
Which I want to get to in a second.
Which is a little weird in itself. I don't know. Does that have an Illuminati connection, do you think? Or?
No, but I did want to talk about it as far as like the whole idea of secret societies and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So he sort of gets invited to this, it's like an orgy.
Yeah.
With all these rich and powerful people there that are all wearing masks. And apparently this is what they do. This is their idea of entertainment. They had these big orgies and you know, they assert their power that way. You know, they hire prostitutes and sometimes
underage
they get killed
hookers
and all kinds of really sick stuff. And Tom Cruise stumbles into this and sort of gets caught up in it.
Yeah.
And I think pretty much every movie that Kubrick made, it was his way of making a statement about how he got caught up into this, this thing to, you know, on the surface to further his art, but not realizing that what he was giving up as a result of it.
Right.
You know, and that whole scene depicted that. Tom Cruise, I think, really represented him in some ways of being stumbling into it naively in some ways and how it impacted his marriage and everything. And I was listening to Alex Jones, who, you know, I agree with some of his stuff, and some of his stuff is just great. He's outlandish.
He's hit or miss. He's either spot on.
He's pretty wild.
Or he's way
out
there.
He goes for a sensationalist point of view a lot of times.
Yeah.
But supposedly he met with Kubrick's daughter.
Yeah.
Whose name escapes me. Her first, she still goes by Kubrick, but she was a production assistant for him on a lot of his movies.
Sure.
And she claims that this movie, Eyes Wide Shut, which was his last movie, and he in fact died before the movie was done. So there's some thinking that some of it was cut out by whoever finished it.
Right.
She says that he was killed because of the movie by the Illuminati. So, you know, I don't know. You know, you got to take, it's Alex Jones, and she supposedly set this meeting up with Alex Jones he said that she told him a lot more stuff that he couldn't really even talk about.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Because he had an agreement with her, you know, that was off the record.
Yeah.
But the point he was making was that was, the Eyes Wide Shut was an outing of of the Illuminati and what, and he uses the term, which is kind of cool. He calls them cultural shapeshifters. So that on the surface, the person that you see, whether it's a head of a corporation or the head of a studio or a record executive or whatever they are, on the surface they look like successful businessmen and they're well dressed. They have nice houses. They have, you know, they have all the trappings of success.
They have their shit together.
All right, but the shape shifting part is when they go to these kinds of ceremonies, they turn into these kind of satanic, demon worshiping kind of
people. The fuck?
Yeah. So, you know, I have to wonder about people like, you know, the guy that's the head of the Disney Corporation, you know, people like that. What's that guy's name? Is it Eisner? Or? He's not.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Used to be. What was Eisner's first name?
I think he stepped down or something.
Yeah.
Or forced him out or something. But, you know, everybody sees Disney as a lightness and, you know, good time thing, you know,
wholesome family entertainment.
Everything was good, and I was in the video store one time.
Yeah,
this is years and years and years ago when you actually still rented videos.
Yeah,
and my son was little, and we were renting Aladdin.
Yeah,
you know, he wanted to see Aladdin, which is, you know, little kids want to see that. And the guy at the video store is like a video nerd or something, you know, probably like Quentin Tarantino.
Exactly what I was thinking.
When he worked at the video store, it wasn't Quentin Tarantino, but somebody like that, you know, that really studies the videos and knows every actor and every scene and all that shit, you know. So he says, "Oh, you're gonna let your son watch that, huh?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it's a Disney movie, you know. I mean, I was totally unaware of it." You know? He says, "Well, you know, there's scenes in between the scenes of like pornographic stuff in there."
What the fuck? Really?
I'm telling you what he said. And I don't. Maybe pornographic is too strong a term.
Subversive.
It had some sexual overtones to it.
Yeah.
And if you slow it down, you can see it. It's like it's subliminal. And he showed it to me. And you can Google that. You can Google that. And
I certainly will.
So that kind of turned me sort of like, maybe there's more to Disney than meets the eye, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing some stuff there that, and Walt Disney had some pretty weird.
He had some weird stuff going on.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, maybe Disney's one of those cultural shapeshifters. You know, maybe they, behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about. I know a lot of people are going to be probably throwing shit at their computer now, but.
Right.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So, you can hate me if you want.
No, you can hate me if you want, because I'm putting it out there.
Well, I think a lot of people have an inordinate connection to Disney. It's like they, even like, you know, a guy we both know, we won't mention any names, had like a whole room full of Disney memorabilia, you know, which is okay if you're 10, but
this is, you know, a grown
when
adult.
You're 55.
This is a grown,
it's a little odd.
This was a grown man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to out this person's name. I'm not going to come right out and say.
No, we don't need to do that. It's just, it's the point. It's not the person that sets the point.
Right.
Making, you know, is that people see this stuff as all like sweetness and light, and it's, you know, maybe there's something behind the Snow White.
He maybe really.
There's something under Snow White's gown that we don't know about.
And the thing is that he was not a freaking healthy individual.
Well, he was weird. He was odd.
He was a real unkind person. I'm just going to put it out there.
Closet unkind, though. On the surface.
No, he had
said. Well, there you go. A shapeshifter, a cultural shapeshifter.
He had said.
That's a great term. I love that term.
Because the thing is that one of my kids had reported back a couple of things to me. And when the first time I heard it, was like, what? Not him. But then after a while, it was just like some of the off-color things he said, especially to my son, like, you know, telling my kid to get out of La La Land and stuff like that, because my son likes to just stare off into space and fantasize about.
Well, it's not off color.
Well, it was off.
Yeah,
it was off.
And inappropriate.
And a couple of things, it was just like, there was just some of his behavior that was just
I know what you mean.
This is not normal behavior for a 55-year-old man. There is just something not right here.
I mean, I get people wanting to go to Disney and take their kids there and stuff. Okay, I get that. I went there when my son was little, and it was okay.
Yeah.
But number one, it's like hugely expensive to go to Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the story. My son had a friend, he was a little kid. He was, you know, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. And he had a lot of kids in his family.
Yeah.
Like 8 or 9 kids, you know.
Yeah.
And he said to me, they were going on vacation. It was like Easter break or something. He said, oh, we're going to Disneyland, you know, World.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it was the best thing. And it is for little kids. I get that.
Right.
They're excited about it, you know. So he gets back after vacation, and I said to him, so how was Disney World? You know, like,
Right. Then
he went there and had a really cool time, you know. And he says, we went there and it was closed.
What the fuck?
Listen, so what I think happened was his family went there, and now they have like 8 kids. I mean, seriously, have 8 kids and 2 adults. So how much is that going to cost to get in? How much does it cost to get into Disney World? I don't know. Is it like $50 a piece or something?
Those are for the cheap tickets, Walt.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been there since my son was little, and he's almost 30 now. So I don't know. I don't even remember how much it cost. But I know it was expensive at the time, and I'm sure it's way more expensive now. But the point is, this kid went there, and obviously the family couldn't get in because they couldn't afford it, you know. How do you afford to take 8 kids when you don't make a whole lot of? I mean, they weren't a wealthy family.
No, of course not.
By any means. I mean, they had this old crappy van that they rode around in, you know, because they had so many kids. And they went down to Florida thinking they were going to go to Disney World.
No, you're not.
And he comes back and he was like, you know.
He was crushed.
Like, he was like, oh my God, it was we went there and it was closed. And I was like, I think your mother told you it was closed. You know, I didn't say that to him, but. But that's,
do you
that's
smell just, bullshit?
But my point is that bullshit. You know, that's an obscene amount of money they're probably making. You know.
Oh yeah. And the thing
and
is,
they're playing on people's fantasies.
When
really.
You wish upon
right.
a star,
and that's okay. You know, I guess maybe people need a certain degree of that. But how much money is, you know, maybe they should have something where they actually let people in like that, if they don't have enough money to get in. You know, I don't know.
Well, it's they're running a business. They're not running a charity.
No, I get that, Eric. But you know what?
That
probably crushed that kid. That probably had some trauma on his psyche that he couldn't
get. Oh, yeah.
You know, and maybe he believed it was closed, but really? I mean, you know, at some point in time, he had to have figured out that it wasn't closed.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, I don't think Disney World probably ever closes.
Yeah. My you cat.
Might close at night or something.
My cat did not go to a special farm just for.
right. So you know, I don't know. I just think there's. Getting back to that cultural shape shifting thing, which is my new favorite word for the day. I don't know. I think there's more than to a lot of things than meets the eye.
Yeah.
You know, we're presented with a certain image or a certain surface viewpoint. Which makes us think something is something like our elections. I think it's a prime example of that. You know, we think it's democracy, but it's not even close to democracy.
You know what I would really like to be able to do, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do this, but I would actually I would like get somebody from the Hillary Clinton campaign and come in here and sit and explain to us, how is it not rigged?
Yeah.
Explain to me how it's not rigged.
Right. Now you're dreaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you have a fantasy.
I have a fantasy. I would no, seriously. I mean, the thing is that she has campaign headquarters in Keene, New Hampshire.
Nobody's going to admit that, Eric.
Come on over.
They're not going to admit that. They'd be fired right from the campaign if they did that. You know that's not going to happen. It ain't happening, Eric.
We got Nick Redfern.
That didn't happen in Eric.
We got Nick Redfern.
No, you're not going to get that. It's just not going to happen. It's just not set up that way. You know, we can talk about it till, you know, all day long. And it's just the way it is. You know, and it's not going to probably change. You know, it's just that, you know, our overall point here is to kind of open people's eyes.
So yeah.
Their eyes wide shut, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to talk about, which is kind of interesting. How are we doing on time?
We're doing fine on time. We got 5 more minutes.
We're moving along. Is the bloodlines of the Illuminati?
Yes.
Which may, in fact, hearkening back to Nick Redfern's book about bloodlines of the gods, may in fact be bloodlines of may in fact be alien bloodlines that have come down from our, our alien progenitors and are now bloodline families. So there's another book that, which I didn't realize it, and Alex Jones was saying that it had actually gone out of print.
Right.
And it's written by this guy.
You have a copy of it here.
I do have a copy of it. And apparently it's not easy to get. His name is Fritz Springmeier. So you just proved that, Eric, that you are literally full of shit.
There you go. I might have to edit that out. This book.
I think
this
so.
Book.
Okay. Let me grab it here. So this book is called Bloodlines of the Illuminati, written by this guy, Fritz Springmeier. And this baby, apparently, it's kind of like a doorstop book.
It's huge.
Huge.
It's huge.
A huge book, borrowing a line from Bernie. But he traces the, he says that there are 13 bloodlines or families that really make up the Illuminati.
Okay.
All around the
world.
Do they
all intermingle and intermarry?
Well, they do. They do, which is kind of interesting. And there's a lot of sub-families, you know, that go by other names.
Right.
But some of the names you will recognize, and some I think you won't recognize.
Hit me with it.
And I think some of them may surprise you. Let me put my reading implements on here so I can actually see. So, some of the families are not no surprise. For example, the Rockefeller family. I guess that would be
not a surprise.
Not a surprise.
Now,
the Rockefellers are very dominant in the areas of finance and John D. Rockefeller started out with oil,
right?
But they also influence education dramatically with the Rockefeller Foundation.
Yep.
Has a big impact on education. Rothschild.
Yep.
Not enough. They're the European bankers.
European
banking
family.
They're the ones that control the whole European banking thing, if not the world. And then there's Astor.
Okay.
Think Waldorf Astoria.
All right.
In New York. Bundy.
Bundy?
Yeah. McGeorge Bundy.
Really?
Remember him?
Yeah.
He was in the Johnson administration, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And oddly enough, a relative. Do you know another Bundy?
Ted Bundy?
Ted.
Get out.
Oh, yeah. Ted was in the family. He was, I think he was kind of a black sheep. But
you think, maybe?
But, you know, I don't know where he learned his... He apparently was able to almost mesmerize women.
Yeah.
And he was quite intelligent and could talk a good game and get them to, you know, to come away with him. Come really away with him. For the people who don't know, he's a mass murderer.
Serial killer.
How many women did he kill? I don't know.
More than his share.
A ton, yeah. Here's an interesting one, Collins. Okay, which is kind of a common name, I guess you would think.
Right.
However, think about this. Something I uncovered in here, which is kind of cool. What was the name of the family in Dark Shadows?
Yes.
Eric?
Collins?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. So that show had a connection to this Illuminati.
Do you think
family.
It was purposeful, though? Do you think it was
he
on purpose?
He says it was.
Okay.
He says it was, so I don't know. Can't ask Barnabas anymore. Barnabas bit the dust.
Barnabas won't be coming down for breakfast.
No. Another one is DuPont.
Yep.
Not a surprise.
No.
Family that made tons and tons of money off of all of our wars.
Right.
By making gunpowder.
Yep.
And blowing people up. Freeman. I don't get too much connection to that, except that it's curious if you break it down, free man.
Yes.
I don't think so. Here's the big one that I think will probably surprise Eric. Kennedy.
Oh, no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Or doesn't? Okay.
No.
Okay. Which is kind of curious. We were originally going to start the show talking about the Masons.
Right.
But Doug couldn't be with us, and we're going to do another show on that anyway. But the Kennedy clan goes back to Scotland, apparently. Everybody thinks of them as being Irish. But,
right.
But the original clan goes back to Scotland.
And sure.
The Freemasons actually one of the Freemason lodges, I guess, one of the big lodges, was the Scottish Rite.
Yep.
Freemason Lodge. So perhaps the Kennedy clan was connected to that.
Sure.
You know, which in turn...
I think it's possible.
And then there's a Chinese connection. There's a Li family. L-I. I guess it's pronounced Li.
Okay. Never heard of it.
So there's that's an Oriental version of the Illuminati. Onassis.
You know, I don't doubt that. Mm.
I always thought it odd that Jackie Kennedy married Onassis. Did you think that was odd or not?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't there when it happened.
Well, I realize, but the connection is strange, I think.
That was just freaking bizarre. That is just bizarre.
Well, Onassis was a huge drug kingpin.
Right.
That's where he really met. I mean, he was classified as a shipping magnet, but the shipping was used for drugs.
Yeah.
You know. And that is pretty... that's a thread that runs through all of these families. They're all
drugs,
high into the drug trade.
Drugs or prohibition.
Yeah, goes far back. And slave trade, too.
Yep.
Now it's not morphed into the slavery as we thought of it. It's now human trafficking.
Right.
Slavery. Boys and girls that are trafficked. Young boys and girls that are trafficked for sick people. Rockefeller, we talked about that one already, which is obvious. And Rothschild. And Russell. I don't know Russell too much. There's a couple other ones. Reynolds.
Uh-huh.
Reynolds Aluminum.
Okay.
That's where that came from. And tobacco, too.
Okay.
Big, you know.
Big tobacco.
Big negative industry there.
Big tobacco family.
And Krupp, which I think is a German.
Yeah.
Krupp, the Krupps organization, the
okay.
family. They make coffee makers and stuff like that, but obviously they do other things, too. So these 13 families are the genesis of all of the nefarious dealings apparently on Earth. And you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, well then why was Kennedy assassinated, and why was, you know, Bobby assassinated?
He wasn't doing what he was told.
There's some talk that Joseph Kennedy was assassinated too.
Yeah.
That his plane was blown up or something during World War II. Which is why the lineage dropped down to Jack, and then down to Bobby, and Teddy got away with the Chappaquiddick thing. They kind of put him in his place with that, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't have to kill him.
No.
And honestly, I've read some stuff that says that JFK Jr. was taken out.
Yeah.
They messed with his plane, you know, because he was making moves to get into politics, and I think it's pretty clear he would have been political.
Oh, yeah.
He had all the right pieces.
He'd be running for president right now.
He had all the right pieces. Or he might be president.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's funny when you start looking a little bit behind the scenes of all these names that you hear. And you know, and these families are not necessarily all united. They have their own agendas, and they have their own little wars, I think, which I think is one of the reasons why Kennedy was taken out, is because he overstepped the etiquette of the group or something. You know?
He was not doing, because the thing is
he was not falling into step.
No, and the thing is that it was like, you look at all the companies that you had just rattled off, and how many of those families were profiteers from the Vietnam War?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the thing is that if Kennedy says, "No, we're not going to do this Vietnam War thing," and they said, "Oh yeah, we are."
Yeah, that was probably a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that happens. I think that's what happens with the lesser members of the group. You know, if they don't fall into step, it doesn't end up well for them.
No, they have accidents and stuff like that.
You know, when you start looking at the. You know, I mean, Bob Dylan has pretty much come out and said that he's controlled by the Illuminati. He doesn't use that word, but he says there's a group of people that controls the industry. And he if you remember back to, might have been the late 60s, early 70s, he had a really horrific motorcycle accident.
Right.
You know, who knows how that happened?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a message somebody sent to him.
Yeah.
He turn Christian too at some point?
I think he did.
Like Christian stuff going on. So I don't know. You know, who knows? It's all. It's funny because it's all sort of hard to pin down. You know, you read all this stuff and it's it's hard to really make a complete connection between all this stuff. And then you have people that say, oh, it's just like that guy that, you know, his mother asked him about it. He said, oh, it's just made up stuff. You know, and that's really what they want you to think. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that they make for the perfect bad guys in so many movies. You know, it's like the secret society. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I really wanted to talk. One of the things that I would like to be able to do is that there is this book out there called Going Clear, and it is a behind the scenes look at Scientology. And
written by Clara Seller. Corporate intervention again, Eric.
I'll find the author of that book, and I will say that the thing is that I don't think this is going to be the last show that we do on secret societies.
No, I think we can do a whole show just on that. The Illuminati is just one society. I think it's probably the most powerful one.
Right.
Whatever that means.
You know? Yeah.
If, in fact, there really is an Illuminati, I don't know. Maybe it's just all groups of many secret societies. That one that controls the media, one that controls the political situation, maybe one that controls the banking industry. Maybe it's just a bunch of little subgroups, rolled into one big thing, like the New World Order or something that's all channels into the same place. I don't know. Maybe it's one big corporation. That even the corporations, the big corporations that we know, are just sort of sub corporations of that big group of Nazis or whatever they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. It's hard to say. You never really get that kind of knowledge.
It really,
that doesn't really come out ever. You can conjecture about stuff. I have my own opinions on things like that. But the big thing is just to have the listeners, do their own research.
Get into it.
Look at some things.
Let's see what you guys come up with.
Right. Let us know what you think.
Are secret societies running the country?
Right.
Like my dog's bladder right now is ruling when we quit this podcast.
Her bladder runneth over.
Exactly. So I gotta let them out, and we're gonna close out the show and just say, okay, guys, the ball's in your court. First day with a brand new tongue. The ball is in your court, guys. What do you think about secret societies? Are they really in charge or what? Give us a holler. Talk to us on our Facebook page or Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the unexplained and supernatural phenomenon, and is dedicated to you people, our listeners. You can learn more about us by going to our webpage, metaphysicalpodcast.com. There you will find links to this episode show page with links to more information on this podcast's topics. Also, the metaphysicalpodcast.com, you can find links to our Facebook and Twitter handle, past episodes, and links to our iTunes and Player FM accounts. That's also a great portal for you to contact us and let us know if you'd like to be guests on our show. Just drop us a line with a quick summary of what you'd like to talk about or promote and means of getting back in touch with you. The Metaphysical Connection is a product of the Fedora Chronicles Network, copyright 2016, all rights reserved. Until next time, keep your chins up and your fedoras on.
A new world order.
The new world order.